and welcome to the second episode of the Getting to Know You podcast. I'm your host, Jacob Bradley. And before I introduce our guest today, I want to start off with pretty much the same way I started off last podcast, with just a little bit of a disclaimer at the beginning to let everybody know that I am not a registered, by any means, counselor or anything like that. This is not what this is about. This is a sit-down interview, and we're just going to see where things go. If you listened to the first episode, obviously a big thank you heads your way. And if you sent any positive feedback, also another massive thank you for all the support per usual. But without further ado, let's get our guest in here today. I'm really excited for this one. She's overall just a really, really terrific human being. Somebody that I look up to in a bunch of different ways. So let's get her in. Welcome in, Megan Trubia. Megan, how are you today?
Hi, thank you. I'm doing good. I'm really excited to be here. I was very happy to be your second guest on your podcast.
Yeah, I know. It upset some people, but...
Oh, no. Stirring the pot already.
Already. Yeah, that's going to be pretty much what the episode's about here. But Megan, why don't, for the people that might not know who you are, why don't you just give a nice overview of everything about you?
So I currently am a senior here at SUNY Oswego. I study broadcasting. I currently am the vice president of productions at TOP. That's kind of what I occupy majority of my time with. Outside, I hang out a lot with my two housemates, and I run a lot. That's kind of what I like, running and yoga. That's my two main things that I do in my free time.
Excellent. And just to cover some ground, where are you from?
Oh, I'm from Cicero, so in Syracuse.
Yeah. A few of the listeners that we'll have, because I had an old podcast, transferred pretty much most of the listeners into this one. And we're all from Liverpool.
Yeah. So I know the area very well. Yeah, I grew up, went to CNS, ran cross country there. So I'm sure.
Yeah.
Shout out CNS cross country.
Yeah.
And the rivalry against Liverpool, CNS will always be better.
Wow.
I grew up there. I love Syracuse.
Yeah.
It was definitely my home. But hopefully once I graduate here, I can maybe move to the city.
Yeah.
Something.
The city of Syracuse or just the city?
No,
in
the
general?
City, New York City.
New York City. Yeah. Yeah, that's a little
That's
bit,
really where I want to go.
Yeah. But so moving up here from Oswego into Syracuse, because the last guest we had on was Garrett, and Garrett's from Manhattan. So that's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Cicero's obviously a little bigger
mm-hmm.
than Oswego, but how has the adjustment been for you moving from Cicero to Oswego?
It's been as easy as possible, I thought. I think it was really nice to have my family be so close. That's something that I wanted to have them to be close to me, but not too close.
Mm-hmm.
So it was definitely really nice to move here and still have my family that was close, but not too close.
Yeah.
And then even just adjusting into the dorms, that was definitely freshman year, sophomore year. That was a little bit difficult at first because I had random roommates both years.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately I didn't get along with either one of them.
Yeah.
But then transitioning to a house and living in a house and having my own room, that was I love it. I'm going to be so sad when I leave my two housemates.
Yeah.
They've become my sisters. They've become my lifelines. It's going to be difficult.
So how did you meet the housemates? Just through classes?
So I met them through running. So
okay.
I used to – so freshman year, I came to SUNY Oswego solely for running.
Mm.
I came for the broadcasting program as well, but I got accepted here to run cross country. And so that's why I chose to go here. And then I met them through that. And it was funny because we were mortal enemies at first,
mm-hmm.
freshman year, sophomore year. We didn't really like each other, us two girls, shout out Becca and Emily. And then transitioned to junior year. We needed to find two more housemates to live. And I asked them, and it was the three of us, the three girls, and then there was two other guys that we lived with. And then all three of us girls kind of ended up bonding so well. And now all three of us just live by ourselves. And
nice.
I couldn't think of my life without them.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Let's see, I had a question. Got to think what it was. When you came, so you mentioned you came to Oswego solely for running
mm-hmm.
to start. Did you know that broadcasting was also something that you were passionate about?
Yes and no. I've known from a young age that I've always been very outgoing, very outspoken. I love attention. I love the limelight. So from a young age, like I remember for Christmas one year, I got a rock star, like an electric guitar, because I always wanted to be a rock star. So I knew that I wanted to do something in front of the camera. In my high school, I was known as like the announcement girl because I used to do the announcements at school. And it was a club. And then I worked with one of my professor or my teachers at the time, I guess, to make it into a class. So my senior year, there was two separate sections that the announcements was done by a class instead of a club. And I was the main producer for that. Like I was always the one in charge. So that kind of, and that was on such a smaller scale than what we do now, but that kind of transitioned me into wanting to do more in that. And then obviously coming here, learning about WTOP, and my mind was blown, you know? And so then it was like, whoa, there's so much more I can do.
See, now, as I know you, you do a lot behind the scenes, it seems like, now that you're a senior and you've got, you know, VP of Pride and all that. When you first joined WTOP, did you think, okay, I'm going to be on screen 100%?
Yes.
And then things just kind of transferred in what they are today?
So what ended up happening, and this is no knock on the girl that did it to me, I auditioned. It was really bad. And they laid it on me. And they let me know it was bad.
Wow.
And I was a little freshman. And this is even all of freshman year, I cried every single night I came home from WTOP solely because I was really hard on myself. I think it was the culture of the club and the people at the time. And they really knocked me down a few pegs. And I think that's why I'm so hard on myself in the club today, because of where I was. You know, I didn't know anything. I didn't do anything. And everything I know now, I've worked for.
Yeah. You know? So you could say that experience, it really shaped you into who you
are. Oh, yeah. That definitely I vividly remember. I can vividly remember her being like, I was like, so do you think there's a chance for me? And she's like, absolutely not.
Wow. Yeah. And see, that's so odd for me to view today as this just being my second semester in the club. It just seems like, I think you even mentioned it last night when we were doing getting ready to do my show, that we were all working at the big, you know, the e-board desk. And you said that there was no way when you got here that anybody was going to be
allowed.
Oh,
my gosh. Yeah. It was crazy. I remember my freshman year. No one was touching that e-board desk except the e-board members. I think the club has changed dramatically in such a good way.
Yeah.
Because before it was very segregated and it was very cliquey.
Yeah.
And I think that by having different leaders and stuff like that, I think it's become much more of a group club rather than an individual, like, these are your leaders. These are like, because we are broken up into tiers and it is a hierarchy, and there are, you know, there are people tend to overset boundaries at times, and it does become difficult. And so definitely being a leader, I have to be a little bit more like leeway with that. And, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just a computer.
Right.
Do I really need to gatekeep a computer from other adults? Yeah. No,
I get that 100%. Do you think now, you know, the group of seniors that we have today, do you think from experiencing that as a freshman and then obviously going into the pandemic for the last 2 years, do you think the group that's on top today have kind of decided, hey, we've seen what the club's done in the past. We want to now change it for the better.
Oh my gosh, 100%. I remember our first e-board meeting we even had over the summer. We immediately were like, there was things that, like, even in my audition my interview, I guess, for the position, I was like, there were certain things I wanted to change, and club culture was on the top of my list. I hated coming into the club as a freshman and a sophomore. I dreaded it. Like I said, I left every single day like crying.
Yeah.
I remember I lived in Riggs. I literally would leave through the back door of MCC and walk down the hill to the dorm, and I'd scream cry the entire way because I thought I wasn't good enough. And if this was something that I wanted to do, I was like, I'm never going to make it.
Yeah.
You know, and so it really affected me a lot. And I don't want other people to feel like that. And I want this club to be a place where everyone can express themselves how they want. And I think there's so many opportunities in this club that people don't understand. People don't even realize. Like, this club and the amount of recognition that our club gets, people don't even realize that. So if I can just shed some light on that and share that with other people, I know that I'm doing my job as a leader.
No, and that's, I agree with that 100%. I mean, just from what, if you look at just even the TV programming that goes out there on a weekly basis. I mean, I know you run a show that's significantly different than any other show that we have on WTOP, but just, you know, the stuff we're able to do on a weekly basis, whether it's my show, whether it's your show, whether it's other shows, just having fun. I mean, it really just says a lot, you know, that it's the creative freedom everybody has. Mm-hmm. It's just so excellent to sit back and watch. And it's so cool to see how many, you know, creative people come through, whether it's in just the media orgs in general, and how, like you mentioned, just how inclusive it is. Because I've tried to join other clubs or show up to other clubs, and if you're not in with them the first day, it can very much feel like you're not going to ever be in with them. And I just have always thought, if the benefit of a club is supposed to be to get people to come back and to join, why would you do that off the start? So I think that, you know, what we have here is just so much different than anything else.
I 100% agree. And something that's really difficult in our club, because we have so many members, is keeping the morale high, keeping the positivity high. And I think especially with the shows that we have this semester, with the way that we've built the club culture, I think that is we're actually having people like wanting to try more positions. People are willing to step up, willing to fill in those positions. Whereas before, we didn't have that. We were literally scraping at the barrel, asking for people. Like, there would be days that I'd have to do a – I remember my sophomore year, we had no producers. Zero. Zip. Wow. Zilch. None. It was literally me and two other girls. That was it. And now we have, like, one for every single night of the week.
Yeah.
So, like, so where we were and where we are now is such a dramatic change. I'm – for the better. So much for the better.
So now, taking it back to more of a personal note on you, you mentioned there that you had to kind of fill into positions. Was the necessity of you having to fill in there kind of what made you realize that I really enjoy being behind the scenes a lot?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I kind of, like you said, I kind of had to step up in the sense that there weren't some people there. So that's why I kind of ended up falling in love with behind the scenes more.
Yeah.
I also found out that people are mean.
Yeah,
people are really mean and they can get under your skin. And I'm the type of person, like, I come off like I have a hard shell, but I really don't.
Yeah.
And so things like that, I just I did an internship over the summer at a news station, and those people, watching them get critiqued, and they're adults, you know? And so for me, it was just like, I would find more success and confidence within myself if I'm behind the camera.
No. And I think, you know, hopefully, and I know what we produce here as far as moving on now after we all graduate, it's such a small fraction in the whole real world of news and everything. But hopefully that just, you know, you like you said, you internship right in the middle of a news station, and it's adults speaking to adults. It should be.
Exactly.
Why I always have viewed, okay, if I'm going to critique somebody, why be mean about it?
It's not even, it's the social media.
Yeah.
It's the tweets, like, literally, like, just random people are at the news station. This is so crazy. People would just call the news station and to complain about the newscast. Like, it was very interesting.
Yeah.
How people judged other people,
right,
you know, on television.
So how did that, like, out of the criticism and stuff that has come with it, how has that shaped you into who you are today? Not just maybe even as a news worker, but just as a person in general.
I think it's definitely made me so much more open-minded, especially just, I mean, I got my start within broadcasting and news. And so that's kind of, it's been very difficult a little bit, because sure, I've become a little bit insensitive to some events because I'm dealing with them so often. But I think it's definitely made me be a more well-rounded thinker and a more observant person. I think I tend to observe things much more now. Because I like to watch how people interact. I like to watch how people conversate with each other, because then it helps me understand how I can deliver my message to the people over the news.
Yeah. No. Now we talked a lot about the news here.
I know. Do the news.
What else? I mean, you mentioned cross country. Yeah. You mentioned yoga a long time ago.
So I guess yoga is something new. I do cross country. I've always done. I ran a lot in high school. Really screwed my body over because I didn't really treat it too well.
Yeah.
While I was running. And then now, so to keep exercising, I like to do yoga.
Mm-hmm.
I do a shout out to North Coast Yoga here in Oswego. Students can do it for $10 if anyone wants to. They have it on Thursdays from I think it's 6 to 7:30. I go for just an hour and a half, and it's the best thing in the entire world. And we used to do something called Yoga Nidra, where you sit still for a half hour on your back with your palms up. Your legs have to be up, like elevated on something. We use like a bolster, which is just like a couch cushion or a chair or something. And it's guided meditation. And basically what it is you try to put yourself in that realm between asleep and not asleep. So you're kind of just there. And it's so nice to just be able to relax. And the lady who does it, she talks about relaxing your eyes and then your chin and your chest and just look at the sounds around you and feel the sounds around you and feel the ground underneath you and feel the space as you're like inhaling. You can feel the space in your lungs and just it's so relaxing and I really like it. And it's made me so much more conscious of my range of motion and my range and stuff like that.
So when did you start taking up yoga?
So, well, I've always done yoga. My sister is a competitive dancer. So she's had to do yoga her entire like dance career because it's like – and so I'd go to the yoga classes with her. And then I stopped when I came to college. And then I picked it back up again this at the beginning of this semester because I finally found another studio that I could go to. And because it is expensive. Yoga, I don't know why. It can be very expensive, but this lady does it for only like 10 bucks and it's super nice. And I just go every Thursday. And so I've been doing it for probably about consistently, probably about 2 months now.
Wow.
And I have seen such a change in just like mental well-being and just like, even just like the way I talk to myself. I think it's really helped me with that.
No, I could say from my own personal experiences, I've had this preached probably from 20 different people to me. It's the positive self-talk. You know, you gotta talk right to yourself. So yoga, how you mentioned, you know, it's changed you as far as a human being goes. Do you mind getting into how?
I think it's definitely made it so, I mean, I have something called BPD. Mm-hmm. It's borderline personality disorder. It's a mental illness I'll live with for the rest of my life, unfortunately. I can take medicine to combat it, and I do. And it's a lot sometimes. And so that self-talk, I also have something called, I think very cognitively. So I think about how I think. Mm-hmm. So it's, sometimes it can be very difficult for me to, discern those negative thoughts and positive thoughts to myself. Yeah. So to do that, one of my coping skills is I like to write things on the wall. In my room, I literally have like, so many things like, what would a healthy person do? Like I try to tell those things to myself or like, is this a true thought or is this like, is this something that's made up like that my head's making up? So I think it's definitely, I mean, the BPD, I mean, it's me, that's how it's hard, but it's something that I live with and it's something that I push through and it's something that, I think it makes me who I am.
Right. No, and that's an excellent mindset to look at it like that. Like, you know, everybody's got, you know, their stuff and it's a matter of how you know, you can either use it as an anchor or use it as like a propeller and say, hey, own it up. And that is who I am. And there's, you know, what am I going to do about it? You know,
exactly.
That's who I am.
And I think definitely at first when I got the diagnosis, because it's hard and it's something that I don't want people to know that that's like, I don't want people to think that, she's the girl with BPD, but like it is who I am. Like, and I identify with it, you know? But it was difficult at first. It was really something that like, when I hear people who have BPD, like, oh, they're crazy.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not crazy.
Right.
You know? And so I think it's something that has been, that I've got to have to get used to. I mean, I go to therapy. Mm. I talk a lot with my therapist about it. And I do something, I do like behavioral therapy, which is just learning. It sounds so much worse. Like I don't need to learn how to behave, but it's just my flight or flight. You know, when things get tough, I kind of tend to, I like to be bad. I like to be a little badass sometimes. Sometimes being a badass isn't always the best thing to do. You know, it's okay to be nice. It's okay to, like I said, I like to put up that hard shell. I like to really think like I'm a leader. I don't like people seeing me down.
Right.
And so that's why I really try to have that positive self-talk. I try to, because I don't want people to see me in a negative light.
Yeah. So when you ever find yourself in those types of situations where you are, you know, feeling a little bit down, feeling a negative, what do you like? What's your go-to that you turn to say, "Hey, this usually brings me out of it"?
Well, unfortunately, before a lot of this, I did a lot of substance abuse, which was unfortunate. Mm-hmm. And so I now realize that's not a healthy coping mechanism. And so what I do now is I try to have, like Pi said, positive self-talk. I have things in my room where I look at, you know, like. What's one that I have? Like, I am loved. Even something like that. Like, just looking at that, knowing that I'm loved by my friends, like, I can really sit. Or I'll meditate for 5 minutes. Put everything away, sit on my bed, and just zen for 5 minutes or go for a walk. I think the biggest thing is my best advice for someone, if you're in that stuck, change. You need to change what you're doing. You need to stand up, do some jumping jacks, do something else, because the more you sit there and think in those thoughts, the worse it's going to get. It's not going to get better until you change your environment. You know, like if you, like when I'm really depressed in bed, I'm like, oh, I don't want to get up. I'm like, okay, but I need to get up, because the second I get up, that feeling is going to go away. You know, the second I get in the shower, that feeling is going to go away. Another really good thing, this is something my therapist, everyone's feeling really anxious, run your hands under cold water.
Okay.
Any cold water, any cold things, any popsicles will shock your body and it'll focus on the cold.
I never knew that. That's very interesting. Yeah. No, so, you know, we mentioned things that help you. What about people?
Mother, Jill Trubia. She is my favorite person in the entire world. She has literally saved my life so many times, and not even just like in like a that kind of way, but just like in just like a mother way, I love her. Like, she makes me feel so loved. She makes me feel, my mom's superwoman. She takes care of me, my brother and sister, and I don't know how she does it. I mean, my father's there too. My dad's awesome, but she's the main one, and she is my best friend. I don't know what I would do without my mom. She is someone that has raised me to be such an amazing person, and I can see so much of myself, or so much of my mom in myself, and I love it. And I like, me and my sister, like, we talk about it all the time. We're our mom's twins. Like, it's so funny. We're just like remixes of her. And another one is like my sister. She's a big rock for me too. I mean, we didn't always get along as kids because she's 16 and I'm she's not 16. Oh my God. She's 20. My brother's 16. She's 20 and I'm 21. So we're 2 years apart. Mm-hmm. Well, because I'll be 22. But and so it was difficult. But like now, and she wants to be a nurse. So she's so caring and everything. Yeah. And then like those are like family people. But like my friends, my two housemates, Becca and Emily, those two girls have really pulled me out of some really dark, dark times. And I think just like, we've recently started having girl nights like every week, and just like where we, us three girls, put our phones on and we just enjoy the time we have together. And I think that's something that with social media, we don't really do anymore, and just enjoying the time we have together. Yeah. And of course, Donna.
Yeah, Donna's
great. Donna, yeah. So that's funny. Donna and I didn't, we went to high school together, weren't friends at all in high school, and then randomly met again here in college, and we've become best friends ever since.
I heard that, that's so insane.
It wasn't even like we hated each other.
Yeah,
I think she hated me. Okay. Because I can be a little annoying at that, you know, just a little. And so she kind of was like, oh, whatever. And plus we were part of different crowds. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't really mix in high school. I don't think I've changed too much in the sense of like personality wise, but Donna, or like, I don't know, but Donna has changed a little bit.
Yeah. No, so. I mean, if you're listening from Liverpool, obviously, you know how big the school is and how big Cicero is, so, or CNS. So, you know, like how, I mean, it happened in Liverpool where you just, you have your clique and, you know, you meet people
along
the way.
Exactly. Same thing. Yeah. CNS. And I mean, that's basically the same thing. Yeah. So like, and like, we knew of each other. Like, we literally had a class together. It's actually so funny. There's video, like we took the announcement class together.
Yeah.
Like, there's videos of us together, like dancing together, doing things together, and we just never even.
No, I want to bring this up because I always try to bring it up to my friends, and they never. I don't think they ever really understand because they all went to like, they lived like within houses from each other, and they grew up, you know, went to elementary, middle. Mm-hmm. I always like to view it as like, okay, think of a time before you knew these people, and then they're just there, like they're just characters, and then. You finally, you know, then you look back at it and you're like, how weird was that? Like, that's somebody who's so important in my life now.
And you're like, I didn't even know them before.
So I always just think, like, especially as now I've graduated and now I'm into college, and the people that I've stuck with and, you know, become even closer to since college has ended. So it's just like, man, you know, we had like classes together and we never spoke.
Exactly. Well, that's why it's so crazy that Donna and I are like, we do the show together and everything. Yeah. And we're best friends. I couldn't live my life without her. Yeah. And it's so funny because 3 years ago, she didn't even cross my mind.
Right.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy. Life works like that sometimes.
Yeah, it is awesome. I mean, I'm not a big like religious guy by any means.
Of course, no, yeah.
But it is just like people are there for a reason.
Spirituality, yeah. It's like,
you know,
yeah.
I so totally believe that, you know, people are there for reasons.
A 1,000%. I agree. But, I mean, I love Donna. She's
But Donna's excellent. Donna's a great human being. And hopefully she was one of the people that was a bit angry that I got you in before her. But we'll get her and it's fun.
We know who's better, Donna.
But you know, we spoke a lot about you as a human being, the people you surround yourself with, the ways you cope and all this and that. But I want to ask you now, because we've discussed so much about that. I did this with Garrett as well, and I thought it was pretty fun. What's something good that's going on in your life at the moment?
Ooh. Well, my birthday's coming up.
Nice.
In 2 weeks, or less than 2 weeks. And for my birthday, I got Harry Styles tickets in Germany.
Really?
Yeah, I get to go see Harry Styles in Germany.
When's this?
In July. So my family, we've been planning this trip for a very long time. My family were spending 3 weeks in Europe over the summer. It's for like my parents' 25th anniversary, my mom's 50th birthday, kind of a graduation gift for me. It's like a whole family thing. For my birthday, they told me the other day, because I was really bummed that I didn't get tickets, because I was like looking it up and he's going to be in Germany. I think it's, it might be Madrid. Because we're all, or not Madrid. Oh my God. I have it on the tip of my tongue.
Is it Munich?
Munich. It is Munich. Right. You're right. Yes, it's Munich. Cause we're also going to the Bayern Munich, stadium. That's awesome. My brother loves Bayern Munich, the soccer team.
Okay.
And so we're also doing that same day. But yeah, we're going to see him in Munich.
That's pretty cool.
I don't know what day exactly it is, but it's in July. And that's like my one thing I'm really, really looking forward to right now, because Harry Styles, I love him. Mm-hmm. Also on April 1st, he's coming out with a song.
Yeah, I've seen people promoting that.
So like that's in like literally 2 days.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm also very excited. So I think those are the things, I guess. I don't know.
I'm excited
about right now.
Hey, I always
Harry
think,
Styles.
Yeah. I always think, right, when it comes down to that type of stuff, and you always got to have something to look forward to.
Mm.
Like, even if it's something so small, I view things as like, you know, if you're looking for something to look forward to, find something that comes out on a weekly basis.
Mm.
Like, that's always my big thing is, you know, if you could find a TV show that comes out every Friday, it just gives you something to look forward to for the next week.
Exactly. And I think that's why us girls started to do Girls Week.
Yeah.
They're usually every Wednesdays we do the trivia night, and we invite other people too,
right,
like stuff. Yeah. But like those are like our designated nights that like us girls really like put our phones away, really spend that time together. And with like our other friends too, but it's so that we won't miss, like, these are the memories that we'll have, you know?
Exactly.
Cause unfortunately I don't know when the next time I'm going to see them after we leave here. I mean, they both live in New York State. One of them, my friend, she got a job in Ithaca.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then my other friend, Becky, she's going back to Albany. And she'll probably do master's school there for teaching, and substitute teach at the same time. And so, but they're going to be busy and I'm going to be busy, you know, and we're going to have different lives. And I think that's going to be the biggest thing for me, is finding that change and finding that balance back home again.
Mm-hmm.
Still balancing, keeping those friends, keeping those connections, keeping those memories, but also starting to focus on my life and being a quote unquote real adult.
Yeah.
Not like I'm an adult now, but like a real adult that has like a real job. You know?
Yeah. So
what, salary job.
Right. So what are those plans? Do you have any yet?
So right now, currently, well, immediately after we graduate. So I graduate on Saturday, May 14th. Monday, May 16th, I leave for California, the POV program here at SUNY Oswego. I got accepted into that, so I'm going for a week. And then after, I'll come back. Right now, my goal is, because I'm going to Europe in the middle of the summer, I'm going to be gone for so long, I don't want to look for jobs right now solely because I'm going to be gone, you know, and I want to spend that time with my family and I need a break.
Yeah.
You know, I think I've been working for a long time and I think I don't give myself enough credit sometimes. And I'm ready to give myself that credit. I'm ready to give myself that break, that Meg, you can chill out for the summer, you know?
Yeah.
And so my goal is by the end of the summer to have a job and to hopefully move to New York City.
Nice.
I really want to move to New York City. Or California would be cool, but that's maybe later in life.
Yeah.
Start off small, New York City.
Yeah, start off small.
Yeah. So, but Don and I have talked about it so many times. We would love, by the end of the summer, our goal is to move to New York City together and have a job. By the summer, fall, sometime around there. We really, 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 really want to do it together.
Yeah. No, and that's great. I mean, it, you know, to have be, because such a big city, obviously, mm-hmm. and I'm sure you're well aware of it.
I love the city, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just good to have the familiar face, obviously, and, you know, somebody like Donna as well.
Yeah. So she's definitely, and it's so funny because I say all the time, like, we're the same person, just different fonts.
No, I'd say that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, we're literally like the same person.
Especially watching your guys' show. I love it. I think it's the best. Yeah, but, but hey, before we let you go here, I'd asked you to take a quiz. Mm-hmm. We did it with Garrett last time. It's called the VIA character quiz. You could take it at home at viacharacter.org. It's a quick, just about 15-minute assessment. You sit down, answer a bunch of questions, and at the end it gives you a list of strengths, what different categories that you fall into. So Megan, why don't we dissect what you've gotten? So what I did with Garrett was we did the top five. So okay. We'll start at number five. What was your fifth strength?
Social intelligence.
Okay.
So it says being aware of the motive/feelings of others and oneself, knowing what to fit into different social situations and knowing what makes people tick. I think I'm very good at that.
Yeah. No, you definitely, it's like being like water, right?
As yes. They
say,
yeah.
Being able to fit in every bubble. What was your fourth?
Creativity. Thinking of productive ways to conceptualize and do things, inclusive artistic achievements, but not limited to. I definitely think I'm very creative. I think I think creativity comes with confidence. Mm-hmm. And I think growing up, I didn't have much confidence. And I think the more confidence I've gained, the more creativity I've been able to explore.
Yeah. So when did you feel like you were getting that, like finally getting that confidence and creativity?
Probably senior year this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think college has been such a journey for me. I was a completely different – I think every single year I'm here, I'm a completely different person in a good way, not in a bad way. And especially if you were to – like, it's so funny. I talk to people from high school who haven't seen me since then, and they have no idea who I am. And it's like, whoa, who are you? And I'm like, I just think I've become a much more forgiving person, a much more just nice person. You know, I like to have that shell up. I like to have that. I'm a badass, but you don't need to be a badass all the time.
Yeah. What was your third strength?
Bravery. Not shrinking from threats, challenges, difficulties, or pain. Speaking up for what's right, even when there's no opposition. Acting on unpopular opinions and stuff. I 100% agree with this. We haven't talked about it. Another thing I really really strive with and identify with is femininity and being a feminism. Mm-hmm. Or being a feminist. I love going to women's marches. I think I've been to two. They've been some of the best things ever. And I know that speaking up mm-hmm. in times and stuff, and even when, like, especially during the pandemic with a lot of those protests, you know, I really like to be out there. And I think it's okay to be different. It's okay to have that different opinion because that's what makes you you.
Now, this is kind of might be a deep-rooted question for you, but being in the industry that we're in, which is broadcasting, it's a very male-centric business. Do you have any personal goals for yourself, whether it's in the overall grand scheme of news in general or in whatever newsroom you wind up being in to change that?
I just want everyone to feel equal mm-hmm. and just feel happy. I want it to be a place where I go in and I smile every day. I don't want to ever want it to be a place that I dread. I think especially with this industry, how it is so highly male dominated, that's why I do feel like I need to come off and be very strong, because I need to show that I'm strong. I need to show that I can do it. Mm-hmm. And I think just having that confidence and sometimes just sitting back and just watch, you know, maybe not my monkeys, not my circus. That's what I like to say.
Yeah, what was your second strength?
Kindness. Nice. Doing favors and good deeds for others, helping them, taking care of them. Yeah, I love to take care. I put others 1,000% over myself almost every single day, which is better than – that's not always the best. But I really like to help others, and I think my big thing is treat people the way you want to be treated.
Yeah.
That's something I've lived by. That's like, I guess my motto is – if I'm treating people the way that I want to be treated, then they'll treat me that same way.
And that's how it should be, right? I mean, mm-hmm. so many people, I think, miss that. especially in today's day and age.
Yeah.
I miss that.
Yeah. Well, everyone's behind their phones now. Yeah. No one wants to interact with people face to face. So people forget how to interact with people.
Yeah. And no, it's such an important thing to keep in mind. Treat others the way you want to be.
No, I totally agree.
And what was your final strength?
Leadership, I think after we've had this whole conversation, anyone that's listening can probably guess. Encouraging a group of which one member to get things done at the same time to maintain good relationships and stuff. I mean, that's what I do at WTOP. Mm-hmm. I am the one that's the mediator. I'm the one that's the kind of overseer of everything, making sure everyone's getting along, making sure everyone's happy, making sure there's no issues. I love to be a leader. I think my purpose in life is to be a leader, but like, no, like that's my job though. Like I know that I'm meant to be, I'm not a follower. I am the leader. I'm the one that like, my big thing too is problem solving. Mm-hmm. There is always a solution to a problem. Might not be the one that you want, but there's always a solution. Yeah. And I think that's what I really like to push. And that's something that my mom taught me too. Mm-hmm. You know, being a good leader is being a good problem solver.
Right. And so you mentioned your mother there. Do you think you've gotten a majority of these strengths from her?
Oh my gosh, 100%. My mom is, she is one of the bravest women I have ever met in my entire life. She has been through hell and back, and she is still standing, and she's still there. This is quite funny. Over the weekend, I went home. I just wasn't feeling too good. So she took care of me over the weekend. And then when she wasn't taking care of me, she went and got groceries. And then she went to my brother's 2 soccer games at 9:30 at night. And then during the day, my sister's windshield cracked. And she was a half hour away at OCC. Mm-hmm. That's the community college. And so while also taking care of me and like doing groceries and cleaning up the house, she also managed to go get my sister and have her drive her car back. And then like she's also dealing with my grandma right now, who's currently in a nursing home, which is her mom. Mm-hmm. So my mom's superwoman. She does it all. And then I mean, my father helps us out too, and I don't want to knock on him because he's awesome too, but my mom is she is a god. I don't know how she does it, and she does it all with a smile on her face. And also at the same time, she has a job. She is a preschool teacher.
Wow.
She's a speech therapist. Mm. So she deals with a lot of high intensity kids, a lot of kids with disabilities. And they're not easy to deal with sometimes. Right. You know, it can be a little bit frustrating. You know, maybe they're not having a good day. Maybe they don't want to eat. Maybe, you know, some of these kids too are nonverbal.
Right.
So they don't talk, you know, and my mom is up and down because these kids are running everywhere. So she's doing that. And then she comes home and takes care of all of us, you know, and when we were younger too, like, when we were all in high school, like my sister danced, so she had to drive her to dance. My brother had to go to soccer. I used to run. Like we were all doing things, and my mom was always there. Mm-hmm. She has never not been there for one of us.
So I'll ask you one final question before we go here. You look at your mother overall, and you just spoke so highly about her. when you look at yourself now as you get ready to step out into the real world, How big are those shoes to fill?
Huge. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I think my whole entire life, one of the reasons why I'm so hard on myself is because all I want to do is impress my parents. Mm-hmm. I want them to see that I succeed. I mean, I'm the oldest in my family, so I'm the first one off to college. I was the first one to do any of this. So there was a lot of pressure for me getting accepted into college, doing good in school, getting doing good in a club, like being having all of these like achievements and awards that I had to try to accomplish. And so it was definitely really big shoes to fill. And I talk about it with my mom a lot, and she says all at the end of the day, she just wants me to be happy.
Yeah.
And she just wants me to know that I'm loved by her and my father, and you know, and there should be no reason that she's like, whatever you do, Megan, I'll be happy. She's like, as long as you're happy, then I'm happy.
Excellent.
You know, that's what she says.
That's awesome. I mean, if I had to give my opinion, which I'm sure nobody wants to hear,
I'm sure they all do,
but, you're well on your way. So
thank you.
You're doing great. But, before I let you go, you got any special shows or any social media?
No, we have the Senesa show. Donna and I do the Senesa show every Mondays at 9:30 on WTOP 10, 10.2. And then also, I guess my last like little tidbit advice for anyone dealing with mental health. My biggest advice to you is change. It's difficult.
Mm.
Change your environment. Change your thoughts. Change something small. Change your pants. Change your underwear.
Yeah.
You know, get up. change your, you know, change. That I think if you sit where you are and still think of that, those thoughts, they're never going to go away. So you need to change your environment, move, do something for yourself, help mm-hmm. yourself. And I know it's so much harder to do, but I think if you can start with that and start moving, then your journey will be a little bit easier.
Well, I could say you guys did an episode the other night that was kind of the overall arching theme of the end of it. And it was it's available on YouTube. I think they just mm-hmm. got posted. It's on, if you just go to YouTube and search WTOP10, you can find it. Megan's front and center of it, I think. So.
I always am.
Yeah, so it was it's an excellent watch. I would certainly go recommend checking out at least the last 10 minutes of it.
Yeah. We just really talked a lot about. I mean, because like it's something I deal with on a day to day basis, and I deal with it quite heavily. Mm-hmm. And not a lot of people might notice it from looking at me, because I am, like I said, very outgoing, very hard. But it is something I deal with significantly, and it's something I deal with every single day, and I know that I'm not alone. And I think the best thing to do is to find those people that you can relate with, because knowing that you're not alone and knowing that you have other people just makes you feel accepted, makes you feel, you know, like you belong somewhere.
Well, Megan, obviously, thank you very much.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
This was awesome. This was a lot of fun. Obviously, if you sat through and you listened to it all, thank you very much for joining us today. And hope to see you very soon once again. And I'll leave you, like I did last episode, with a quote. Keep going. You never know how strong you are until you look back at everything you've overcome. Thank you for listening, and stay safe.